Oh my god, you've got fluffy hair.
I know. Good morning, good evening, good welcome, one and all. Welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. Nazis! Seems to be the order of Nazis. It's just the first word that mentions in the description. We are here to talk about Doctor Who. We are here to talk about Nazis. And we're going to do them both at the same time because that's this week's episode. And when I say we, I of course mean the person over there manning the machine that is Big Bertha. It is Laura.
Hi!
I realise that could get misconstrued if she's listening, and I don't mean her. Meanwhile, plugging away for one more episode, flying solo with a pop plant, it is John Carruthers.
Hello.
Who forgot the fact that he was about to be introduced and decided to move something. So, chaps, how are we? Where are we? And how we been? And where's the intelligent one?
The intelligent one's next door.
Oh, what's she done?
She hasn't done... But she really pissed me off in the last episode. she really pissed me off in the last episode, and I just walked out of the last podcast feeling like, fuck you, you're not coming back.
You were a little grumpy, weren't you? You were a little grumpy.
I know, I feel quite bad about it, but I did that thing where last time I was really adamant. I was going, this is it. It's like a toxic relationship. It's just said, I'm ending it. It's not happening. I'm ending it. And I did this horrible thing where I actually calmed down over the next couple of days without actually broaching the subject. And today she actually saw that I was charging the iPad. Thank you, Apple. She's on the charge. I went, oh, have you podcast tonight? I went, no, honey, I've got a gig. And I actually lied to my daughter about the fact.
No, I can't be party to this. I cannot be party.
That's nice one of the balls, is it? Because do you know what? She'll be back to the next one. But I really wanted just to have one under my belt where I didn't spend the whole time just looking at her angrily. So this is going to be my happy podcast. Happy podcast featuring Nazis. I don't know what that says about me. This is going to be the one where I bring it back and actually just remember the joy of podcasting.
Well, if Nazis can't bring you joy, what's the world coming to, right?
Absolutely. The problem is that this would have been a good one. If there's any German being spoken, she could have translated it quite successfully for us. But also, Tanya's kind of taken a hit. She's watching a really rubbish sitcom from God knows how long ago that was clearly aimed at like 13-year-old teenage girls, and they're next door watching us while I'm doing this.
Well,
and
I feel
like God bless Tanya, she's taking a hit for me.
Have you locked the door? Is there any danger? There's no danger of Morgan just randomly wandering in, seeing what you're doing. You'll be like, no, it's not what it looks like.
Cover my shame, just hide the iPad.
I feel like we're kind of sort of party to you having an affair with us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Wouldn't it be great if like, there's a point where she walks in and says, what are you watching on that computer? And I say, pornography.
Yeah, honestly, it's porn.
Oh, she is so going to go through your... She's so going to go through your search history later on. She's going to go through, she's going to find the episode, she's going to be...
How are you going to explain to her that we're not watching the Nazi episode next time she's allowed to come and play?
She doesn't even she won't even know. She's actually so clever in a lot of respects, and in other respects, I could probably do it every second.
You can't. You can't.
Oh, when did that become Peter Capaldi? Oh, you must have fallen asleep. She actually genuinely, right, this is what we're aiming at here. She genuinely got confused when we did the live Jodie Whittaker episode, and then the next one we did was suddenly back to Matt Smith, and she got confused for that. It's a show about time travel, and she got confused about the fact that we jumped back about four seasons. That's that in a microcosm.
I mean, I feel like we're lying to her about something important. This isn't the Tooth Fairy or Father Christmas. This is something that matters.
Well, you've got two choices in front of you, right? You've got two choices. You either come back into the podcast in a couple of days' time and you just act as if nothing had happened, or the first thing you say is, Morgan, do you know your dad did a podcast without you? I mean, that's the two choices.
I think we should do that.
Yeah, you probably have. But that's... You know what? We should actually record it twice. Do one where you don't mention it and then go back and say, do you know what, I forgot to record that. We record it and then mention it, and then you've actually got the pick of the bunch where you can actually go, which one had the more kind of satisfactory denouement.
Because you know me, I'm very prone to saying a thing I shouldn't say exactly when I shouldn't say it. Based my entire career on that. But at the same time, I don't want to see her little hurt face when she finds out that Daddy doesn't love her anymore because he podcasts on his own.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? This is actually an act of love, because my concern is that I'll stop loving her if she keeps fucking me off here on the podcast. So, I mean, this is the best thing I could have done. So, anyway, introducing our new guest tonight, it's Scott.
So, basically, what you're saying is that you need some time apart for the good of the relationship. It's not her, it's you.
Absolutely. I should have broken up with her that night, but I didn't. So, I'm trying to kind of retrieve things here. So, there we go. Yeah, it's just a toxic relationship. But it's wonderful in so many respects, But do you know what? The main problem is that she's a teenage girl, and there's part of her that's really fighting about the fact that she knows that she shouldn't be doing a Doctor Who podcast with her dad anymore. But at the same time, she's still this lovely child that loves Doctor Who. And she's torn because, you know, I'm sure that she'd be actually just kind of gutted to discover if her pals discovered that she was...
Possibly,
sci-fi podcast.
But she's hanging out with three of the coolest comedians she knows.
The three of us are probably in the top 10 of cool comedians that she knows. But
how many comedians does she know?
But, you know, she knows quite a few.
That's bad. That's bad. That hurts our standings.
I've sometimes had to take her to Glasgow Comedy Festival shows. Just to do setups and stuff.
How many times have you performed?
Occasionally.
How many times have you done Glasgow Comedy Festival?
Oh, too many. And I do mean that if anyone from the Glasgow Comedy Festival is listening, it's too many.
Last time I checked the stats, I don't know how to break this to you, but no one in Glasgow listens.
Yeah, I don't know. Not even me.
No.
generally, I've done all of them since about 2014 in some sort of capacity, and I've pretty much run venues for the last 4 years.
Nice one.
So everything that's happened in those specific venues has gone through me. Obviously, 2020 was a bit of a shit show. We went home.
Wasn't your finest, no.
But you still did a gig.
Yeah, you know, no one likes to show off.
I did five gigs at the Glasgow Comedy Festival, and I only think about five shows went ahead. So I think I'm pretty much hitting 100%.
That's true. Given you're retired, are you still going to be running shows at the Comedy Festival in the future?
Probably,
should there be one?
Yeah, absolutely. I tried to entice Laura up twice.
No, in that case, I shall
have you tried to entice me up twice? I thought you just enticed me up once. Was it twice?
No, I tried to get you to do the Iron Horse, and I also tried to get you to do the Griffin. So 2019 and 2020. Do you remember I sent you a video of me showing you the venue?
You did. After I sent you the video of the first show.
Yeah.
I remember.
That was the year that my pal Jennifer and I came to see you. Which, by the way, she still raves about that.
Oh, really?
That was one of. We went to see four shows that day, and she went to see some other stuff with with another friend, and she still says that you were her favourite show. She might just be saying that to me. Maybe it's just a blatant.
No, I'll take it. You didn't say that then. I will take everything else you said.
She loved it. We
Who keeps freezing?
I think I've lost Karen.
I thought I'd lost you. I was seeing a suspicion that somebody watching some Norfolk wildlife talk is probably going to cause me problems. Why can't I see Laura? This is my question. All I can see is Big Bertha. Oh, no, that's definitely not Laura. Then that's not Big Bertha either.
Laura's going to emerge through from that. It's going to be like a really kind of weird pervy stars in your eyes.
Oh, if only.
We can't see you at all, Laura.
No, you've disappeared. It's brilliant.
Okay, that's really weird.
Yeah. I can see your background, but not you.
That's really weird. Why can't you see me?
Then I can just see the bodysuit. Now I can see a test card.
This is quite funny. Do you know this picture, the test card? The girl on the test card looks like my cousin, Pamela. And I've always
wondered what you were saying then. Your sister, your cousin Pamela Ann.
My cousin Pamela Ann looks like the girl on the test card. I'll send you a picture offline. And I'll actually, I've never thought to mention it to her before, but after this podcast finished, I'll actually say, you look like the girl with the test card, and she'll probably block me on Facebook.
Hasn't she died? The person in the test card, not your cousin.
No. She's still alive. I'm just trying to work out a way that I can get my face to appear in her face and talk to you through the test card. That'd be fucking awesome. Sorry. I'm just thinking of amusing myself during our podcast, that's all.
Do I need to mention again that it's an audio medium? Is that something that needs bringing up at this point?
No, it's the benefit of you too.
That's a fair point.
Fair point. Right, well, while you're trying to work that out...
I'm going to send me a regular message asking me if I pay my TV licence... Every so often, every so often it says, do you pay your TV license? And you just hit yes, I do pay my TV license. But I'm wondering if there's like a parallel universe, John, who doesn't pay his TV license, that still presses yes and has had thus far no repercussions.
Well, I'm just waiting to watch the reboot of The Butterfly Effect set around that very concept.
It's
amazing. Do you know what? It's really weird. When I was young, parallel universes were stuff like what would happen if the Nazis won, and what would happen if dinosaurs hadn't died out. And now I actually fantasize about parallel universes where would I have got to the school faster had I taken a slightly different route?
Had you not turned right but turned in a different direction?
And left, absolutely. There we go. Brought it back. Laura, we are now taking up the slack now for all the kind of obligatory mention of turn left.
I know. I'm very proud of you both.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Out of interest, as we're busy discussing the whole John hasn't got a TV license. I know where he lives, people.
I do have a TV license.
John doesn't have a TV license. He's lying.
Parallel universe, John doesn't.
Technically, I don't have a TV license because the TV license in this house is in somebody else's name, and yet I still tell the iPlayer I have one, and it never asks. It's a ridiculous system. Very quickly, before we start, one other thing I've noticed. We are now up to there being 6 people in total in this call. 3 of them aren't in the call. And those 3 who aren't in the call, the 4th one of them is in the call, if you can follow that. There are parallel universes. There is another universe where a different Laura is in this call. Actually, there are 4 other universes where Laura is in the call. Oh, she's gone. She's gone. That's it. She's storming out. We're going to get a different Laura now, aren't we? I just noticed that. I could forget that.
Not.
Or by some quirk of fate, Laura's going to walk off and Morgan's going to walk in.
That would be amazing.
That would be utterly superb. I'm almost tempted to start the episode now. Oh, she's back. Hello. And the headphones are back on.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about in terms of parallel universes, because that entire concept, it's just wrong. There's no such thing as more me's than you could possibly handle. That's just not a thing. So,
I like the fact that there is a parallel universe somewhere where parallel universes don't exist. Which is quite a delightful paradox. Yeah, because in an infinite number of universes, that has to be one of the options. In one of those infinite universes, there's an infinite universe where infinite universes aren't the thing. What if that's our universe?
That's one.
Oh, God, no. No, I can't have that. I need to know there's somewhere better than this.
Maybe that's the point. Maybe this is the parallel universe. Parallel universes don't exist, and this is the fucking best we've got.
It's like
there's infinite parallel universes. Do you know what this is? It's a parallel universe equivalent of fucking Brexit. There's infinite universes, and we're the ones that have just decided, nope, this is the only universe that we've cut ourselves off from the rest of civilization.
This is like between Infinity War and Endgame with Doctor Strange. How many of these universes do we have Brexit? Doctor Strange is just one. And it's fucking ass.
Yeah,
the problem with that is that in Infinity War, that was that was almost like the thing that they were striving towards. I was kind of going, well, we need to find the one universe where we win, whereas that's the antithesis of this one. Just think, oh, fucking anywhere else but here.
Do you know what? I firmly believe that Doctor Strange would have voted for Brexit.
I'm pretty sure that Benedict Cumberbatch probably did, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They are the same person. I mean, they're basically as posh as Lawrence Fox.
Because of his name?
Yeah, pretty much. In the same way that Lawrence Fox isn't up to Benny.
Didn't he play... he played Dominic Cummings in the...
he did.
Brexit. I was going to say The Brexit Show, but that's something completely different.
This is the Brexit Show. We are living it.
It's time to destroy the country. It's time to wrong the ranks.
Here come the Nazis.
He voted for Brexit and he just has an unfortunate name that we've just made assumptions about. We've just said, do you know what? He sounds like somebody that would have.
Well, to be fair, there's another guy who has a similar sounding posh name who comes from a large acting family background of acting royalty, and he's another twat and would have voted and almost certainly voted Brexit. So
why do you say he's got a posh name? How is that a posh name?
Foxes are famously posh. They are known for...
To be fair, I do know that famous painting that was taken of that most famous fox,
yeah,
with the deerstalk cap on and the pipe, so yes.
They are. You watch any fox, he always puts his jacket on before going through a bin. You
associate them with the underdog to the extent when it comes to the ruling classes. It is the first time that I've actually felt a little bit of sympathy for fox hunters. I'm just going, do you know what, if they actually sent him out into the wild and chased him with dogs and rifles and horses, I'd probably be quite up for
it. Totally, totally.
And I feel quite bad about it, because I feel like by saying that I'm actually kind of selling out slightly, but I'd fucking love to watch that.
Hey mate, I'm morally and ethically opposed to all animal cruelty for legal reasons, because that's what I signed up for. He's the exception that proves the rule. Yeah. You can go and hunt him till the cows come home, literally, twice. I won't care.
I pay my TV license to show him.
We need to get back on the episode before people start accusing this podcast of starting to have a lefty agenda. Okay,
fair point. To be fair,
that till season 11.
Yeah, no one's ever accused us of having a lefty agenda. Largely because no one listens. But, right, in that case, I'm down to staring at a test card and everyone's a bit off my screen. There's now a dog trying to get into the keyboard. I think now is the perfect time. Anyone want to give a quick indication of what we're going to be enjoying this evening? No? Good. Right, that sorts that one out. basically, a quick recap on what the Sky Planner is telling me. Nazis, River on the Rampage, which sounds like a flood problem, Regeneration, and the TARDIS crash lands in 1930s Berlin. They really should have put a soft return in there somewhere. In the meantime, right, shall we crack on, and then we can carry on slagging off the world while we watch Doctor Who. And we'll try and talk about the episode occasionally, because apparently that's important. As ever, dear listener, when I press play, or we press play, you press play, there'll be a countdown, and we will talk you through Let's Kill Hitler. We will discuss the finer points of what would happen if you did kill Hitler / Trump. Because they are basically the same person.
What the hell have you got against Slash?
Have you seen that? I'm pretty sure. Actually, no, he's pretty lefty liberal.
Seriously, Hitler / Trump. That's hardly a triumphant Trump. That's hardly a trilogy of errors.
Well, you say that, but
it's in triumvirate.
I know, the word just did not want to come out of my mouth, so I changed it.
Slash is...
Don't Slash off, because he'll save every one of us.
Yeah, but Slash's second solo album wasn't great. As ever, right.
Ignore John
Absolutely.
Moving on. Right, so, 3, 2, 1 and all that. Are we ready to begin?
Yeah.
Excellent.
My God, iPlayer's had an update and I don't like it. Okay, cool.
I didn't need to hear that. So, as ever, dear listener, we press play, you press play, and we will enjoy the art of not killing Hitler, or killing Hitler, spoiler alert, in 3, 2, 1, and play.
Awesome.
Oh, hello. Of course, truth. I didn't expect that face to appear straight away.
I'm not on screen.
You're still not on screen.
You're not on screen, Lord.
Don't know what you're doing with your backgrounds, but you keep disappearing. I think you keep going into a parallel universe.
Quite possibly. I opened up IMDb trivia for this episode.
Well done.
Earlier on, when I stopped talking for 30 seconds because I was reading it. We were talking about the gap between the previous episode,
yes,
which was A Good Man Goes to War, and this episode.
We were.
And the top piece of trivia, I'm pretty sure, is bullshit.
No,
I am pretty sure is bullshit, but it's the top piece of trivia, and it has a 100% success rate in terms of people finding it interesting. Apparently, the 3-month gap between episodes was to give this wheat field a chance to grow.
That's
the top piece of IMDb trivia for this episode.
I
hope that is true.
Haven't we been in this wheat field before? Didn't we have this wheat field when there was some Dutch painter kicking around?
Now you're thinking of Theresa May.
Oh, that was it. Sorry. For our American listeners, that's a very funny joke.
And was Davy Wheatfield not one of the directors of Classic Who? I don't know. Dave Andrazani directed by David Wheatfield.
Now you're thinking of John Nathan Tractor.
That's it.
Hey! Brilliant.
Oh, God, that's 2 for 2.
How?
What is this? You get ready for this pun competition on Sunday?
Yeah, it is.
How does TARDIS make... Oh, that's how you do it.
That's how you do it, indeed.
That's a cracking crop circle. I don't imagine the farmer was very chuffed.
No, he'd probably be chaffed.
Hey!
Oh my God!
That's got to be the last straw, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know? On Friday, on Friday's apology, it's going to be Morgan. I'm out.
With a post-it note on the screen, going, "We've all given up. You weren't invited the last time round, and it went to shit. It's all yours. Crack on."
I mean, what were your thoughts watching this episode for the first time and thinking, oh, they're introducing a new character?
There was
right
that
at the point where we're trying to discover what's happened to River.
Yeah.
I thought it was equivalent. Do you remember when Itchy and Scratchy introduced that dog?
Oh yeah.
I can't remember.
Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie.
Poochie, that was it.
Unfortunately, Poochie died on his way back to his home planet.
Spoiler alert.
I thought that's just Poochie.
I'm just going to hop forward in time briefly before we come back and talk about her. You guys are probably more aware of the chatter than I was at the time. When we had one of those black women you get on screen sometimes in a recent episode of Doctor Who, a lot of Doctor Who fans lost their shit.
Yep.
How did people react to this?
I think a lot of people guessed what was coming on and they just assumed that, well, this is going to lead to River somehow. I don't think they realised it was going to be quite so quick.
Ah, right. So most people kind of went along with it and didn't mind because it was going somewhere else and they guessed already.
Yeah.
I think there was probably, it's very easy now, 10 years down the line, to say, oh, absolutely called that, but...
I mean, if they managed to grow their own field of wheat, presumably they had kind of sort of laid the groundwork for the snowflakes of the world. What do you mean? Maybe you didn't get snowflakes in 2000 and whenever this was. Maybe snowflakes only got invented last year.
This whole bit here is just so fucking cheeky, and it's very Stephen Moffat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It just kind of jumps in and says, do you know what? I'm inserting this character in and doing such and such, and just absolutely. This is as much wibbly wobbly, timey wimey as anything else he's kind of done. He's more or less kind of retroactively.
Totally.
Just changed its entire backstory for a character who has not been mentioned to this point, where you would have thought a random conversation about. What's happened to Mels? Why haven't we seen Mels for the last...
Which then gets you thinking, is there like almost a kind of parallel track that's doubled back to itself, where the reason we haven't heard of Mels was there wasn't a Mels until this point, and then River just changed history?
Again.
You know that sort of thing, where just kind of going, you almost see like Universe 1, where things are going like this, and then she just went, well, fuck this, I'm changing, you know? Because, I mean, if anyone's capable of doing it, it's kind of her. And she, this is almost her way of saying, look, you did kind of bring me up.
Yeah.
And to be honest, this is a lot more explicit than anything that's been done in season 12. You know, and people say that, that canon's been ruined for 50 years on account of the fact that the Doctor hasn't potentially mentioned that there were doctors before Hartnell, and for some strange reason that's annoyed every white man in the country. And you think, well, you know, it's a show about time travel, and it's not the first time that time's kind of turned back in itself and kind of messed about with your head sort of thing. And again, I stand by the fact that it's never been explicitly stated that Hartnell was the first doctor.
No. Never has.
And the only person that has potentially explicitly stated it was the Doctor, who subsequently discovered, while we discovered it, that she wasn't. That's like someone stealing my wallet, and 45 minutes later I say my wallet's gone. Everyone goes, well, I have 45 minutes ago. Why the fuck have you not mentioned it now?
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah. I think... No, it's gone. No, it's gone. You carry on. I forgot what I was going to say. It's going to be very insightful.
Mine was just a monologue of nonsense. You know, I've got nothing more to say in this. But it does get you wondering about the nature of time travel and that.
Yes. No, that was it. Thank you. I knew I'd remember in the end. I got a theory that the ardent fans who complain about stuff that never happened before, of which there are many, don't actually have that good a memory. So when they're complaining about that's never been mentioned before, they can only go back a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And so when you get an episode from way back, as I would class this as, they can only remember back to sort of Matt Smith morphing into Capaldi. Everything else before that is kind of a bit higgledy-piggledy. And I don't think they remember the specifics.
Can I just introduce someone to you?
Not at the moment, because you're off screen again.
No, I want to introduce someone to you. I brought a special guest with me who can explain pretty much everything that you've just been talking about regarding
Go on.
The reaction to to female characters within the Hooniverse. So let me just introduce you to my friend. There he is. His name's Roger, because that was the first name that popped into my head when I saw a balding, angry man.
Is that Roger Gammon?
But yeah, there's Roger. You want to ask Roger what he thinks of females within the Doctor Who universe?
Irrespective of whether they're a doctor or not, he just hates them.
Yep, he disagrees with it all. It shouldn't be allowed. One thing, going back to the start of this episode, thanks, dog.
I fucking hate them.
that was uncanny and very accurate. Going back to the start of this episode, as we mentioned,
was all right though.
The only thing I do remember thinking,
slightly boyish.
It's wrong.
Just like a lesbian, but. You know.
He's intimidated by women and he hates women, but it's because he really pretends that he loves women. But in actual fact, he also hates the gays, but for pretty much the same reason.
Yeah, I think we all know what's really going on there. To recap, as I was trying to, the thing I do remember from the start of this episode is thinking what a really fucking cool car that was. Because it's a cracking Corvette Stingray, and it's beautiful.
I really like this concept, by the way. I really like the Tesselector.
Yeah.
I really, really liked it. However, I think I've said this before, this was the first series where I picked up halfway through the series what the get-out clause was going to be for the finale.
See, I was never that keen on the concept of lots of little tiny people in a ship. I didn't think.
I did, but I was a big fan of the numbskulls.
Yeah.
Ah, that's true.
You think of the numbskulls.
That's very true. I think, you see, for me, it was fun at the time, and then Pixar went and ruined it.
But I like this. I wish that the concept had been used again.
Yes.
I know it's over two episodes, but I do really like this.
Do they not come back at a later date?
They come up back later in the series, but they are only in this series.
Ah, right.
It does make me wonder. I mean, just mentioning this being the get-out clause, and again, I don't know the extent to which this is potentially true, but it's not the first time that it got me thinking that Stephen Moffat had a very specific idea about how he wanted things to go, and then he changed course.
Did he change direction?
I just wonder if this was quite an explicit get out because he realised that the way he was originally going to do it wasn't going to work, and it takes us back to little things like seeing that guy standing behind the shed. I've gone, did he have a very specific idea that he went, wait a minute? Because there's a couple of times you just kind of go, Stephen Moffat actually almost kind of looks like he's heading in one direction, and then something that we might consider maybe a sleight of hand might have been him going, no, that's shit, let's do something else.
Yeah.
And I'm still convinced that the idea of some, I don't know, and maybe not to the same extent as some of the fanboys that you saw online, but it got me. The bit at the beginning of is the first episode of Impossible Astronaut? I'm losing track. Yeah, Impossible Astronaut is the first part, Day of the Moon's the second.
Yeah.
That bit where you definitely see somebody standing behind that shed just looked like a kind of set piece, you know, it just looked like he was waiting to use that later on and then didn't.
Yeah, as if he was going to watch the scene again from a different angle, and it was going to be that angle, and it was going to be the Doctor there, or River was there from a different time period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be something like that. And I just wonder if he just went, you know, and to an extent he might have done it because he went, you know, I've done this 2 years in a row now, because to an extent he did it.
You know who it should have, you know, fine. who it could have possibly would have, should have been, given the piece of trivia we revealed in the previous episode. I reckon it was Captain Jack.
Yeah.
So you could say, so you had the figure there. Just as a figure.
Sorry, I have to say, I really, really love the look of this Hitler, which is a really, really weird thing to say. But it's ruined by the translation circuits. I know that's the explanation for why Hitler sounds the way that Hitler sounds, but my God, the voice of Hitler.
So
the voice does not match the face.
So just to recap, could you just say that again for the tape?
I really love the look of this Hitler.
Thank you. Right, I can clip that out and use that.
For me, the definitive Hitler was it Mr. Bronson from Grange Hill when he was in the Indiana Jones films?
Yep. Although I still quite like the guy who played Hitler in all those silent films in the 30s. I thought he was quite good.
No, he was quite believable, yeah.
Yeah, he was very believable. Played arenas and everything. He was some tribute act, I tell you. It's kind of weird to think we watched this back then, thinking this is quite spectacular and, you know, it's always fun taking the piss out of Nazis. And we're watching it now, having watched actual Nazis march on Washington.
Yeah.
It changes the tone of it slightly, doesn't it?
How does he miss here? How does he miss? Unless it ricochets from the body.
Well, you see, what you've got to remember is that the Nazis were also stormtroopers.
This is true. Terrible.
They couldn't hit a barn door with a cow's banjo or something, whatever the phrase is. Still love that phrase.
It's just come back to the whole kind of Nazi thing was the fact that again they do this in quite a good way. Was the fact that this episode, you know, Hitler was the MacGuffin.
Yes.
And they pretty much made him, you know, he's mentioned before the pre-credit sequence. The episode's called Let's Kill Hitler, and it couldn't be less about Hitler. And you know.
Well, it could have just not been in it.
That would have been even better.
It couldn't have been less about Hitler without Hitler being mentioned, or, you know, if they called the episode Let's Kill Hitler and then Hitler wasn't in it, then that would have been just slightly surreal. But, you know, it was almost, I suppose, this is Moffat's equivalent of Fugitives of the Judoon.
Yes.
Where you thought that was going to be like a bog standard episode about the Judoon, and it became about so much more else. And they just, you know, there was...
It does.
They said Hitler, 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 Hitler. You know, the last episode was the Doctor will return and Let's Kill Hitler, and then Let's Kill Hitler's mentioned, and then it's set during the war and we see fucking Hitler, and then you realise that he was just superfluous.
What do you think?
Pretty much spending an entire episode trapped in the closet.
Which is about the best metaphor you're going to get for Hitler. It does raise a philosophical question, because obviously the old time travel question is, if you could go back in time and kill Hitler, would you? Because what would it change? But
I think the actual question is, when would you kill Hitler?
Well, you say that, but they were...
Because then it brings into the whole concept of, well, do you do it and you end up killing a baby? Who wants to kill a baby?
Yeah, but you see, yeah, you've got to remember there were good...
There's some babies that royally fucked me off.
Don't start him on that route again. We've just got him off this.
Imagine justifying it retroactively. Going to grow up to be like Hitler.
Well, to be fair, she's blonde. So, you know, there's a certain Aryan quality. What was I going to say? Yes. The first thing you've got to remember is there were good people on both sides. That's an important factor. If you were to kill Hitler... when you knew what Hitler was going to do, other people were in the background to possibly take over, in the same way that if you killed Trump, would Mike Pence be worse or better? Mm-hmm. But philosophically, if you went back in time and just shut Hitler in a cupboard so no one knew where he went, and they spent more time wondering where Hitler had gone than actually going around doing Hitler stuff, would that have been better?
Sometimes the danger isn't the immediate actions, it's what that person represents and their ability to form that cult of personality. So in answer to your question, no, Mike Pence would not have been worse. He would have been worse in some regards of adding Christian fundamentalism to his idealism.
Ah,
but
yes.
He would have been bland in the same way that pretty much every Republican candidate who hasn't been named Trump yep. since Reagan has been.
To be fair, even Reagan was fairly bland.
But the thing was that there was a definite kind of media engine happening. There were people that spent almost from the moment that Trump got elected in 2016 kind of saying that one of the reasons that we can't then go out of our way to try and remove Trump from power would be the fact that Pence would be worse.
Yeah.
And that almost, in hindsight, looks like some sort of media engine that was designed by a Trump supporter
yeah.
to say,
yeah.
look, we know yeah. this guy's an absolute fuckwit, but blah, blah, blah.
Because I think...
Because Pence would have just been completely... would have gone completely with his Senate...
But the one thing...
depending on when the 25th Amendment in retroactively could have been introduced, let's say it's happened 2018, so it's after they've lost the House, he would be completely, completely neutral, yeah. and it would have been 2 years of just nothing happening.
Yeah, but given what did happen...
It's a continuation, effectively, of maybe the last 2 years of Bush. That's what it would have been.
One of the first things I remember after Trump got elected was people saying, you better hope that he keeps in control because Pence will be worse. And that was almost like, we're not talking about from 2018, we're talking about from 2016, people were kind of saying
but, that,
and it almost, in hindsight, does feel like you were pretty much...
I think there was a certain
sort of propaganda machine
yeah,
to
I think
say,
there was,
no, you need to keep the guy that just looks mental in power.
Yeah, I think there was a certain whitewashing of...
Nice term.
Well,
nice
you know, other shades of paint are available. I think there was some whitewashing going on in terms of, yeah, Trump's terrible, but trust me, the guy behind him is a lot worse.
Yeah.
And I think what we showed, or what was showed, when Pence had the opportunity to overthrow the election, he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because everything that's wrong with Pence, he does adhere to the rule of law and he respects the office of the president.
Yeah. And then, of course, Trump went on Twitter and pretty much called him a coward.
Yeah. And then at which point you had people wanting to kill him.
Yeah.
So I think he would have been bad in a lot of ways, but he would have respected the Constitution, the office of the president, and the position of America in the world.
Bear in mind that we are currently missing the first real scenes of River Song.
I have
should
noticed
we
that.
Not point out, should we not point out that the reason we're having this conversation is because this is being recorded on Trump's last 24 hours?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, only as president.
Well, that we know of. I will need an alibi at some point tomorrow if someone blows his helicopter up. I would like to say there's nothing I like more than seeing River Song standing there, legs akimbo, holding a banana.
Yep.
That is a particularly fine scene. And
who's holding the banana? Because that was very non-specific.
Someone's holding a banana. What else do you need? Bananas are fun. Hold a banana.
Did you not think that they've actually done a decent job of actually somehow making Alex Kingston look younger than she appeared earlier on in the series?
Well, they have to, don't they? That's the problem.
Well, they don't have to, because they actually do mention it later on. I think they mention it in season 7 that she makes a comment about the fact that she's just going to age backwards. She just makes a decision.
There is that, but you've got to bear in mind this is the first, at this point,
yeah,
in
no,
River's
absolutely.
Overly complicated timeline. If you watch River's... If you watch River's timeline in River chronological order, this is where it starts.
Yep. Yes, no, absolutely.
So
I do actually. I'm watching this now, remembering just... and it's strange as an adult, because it's okay when you're a teenager, but I'm sitting here as an adult just realising how much of a crush I've still got on Alex
Kingston. Totally. I mean, if she was to start...
You're saying blah, 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 teenager. She's still like 10 years older than you, so it's fine.
Yeah, I know, but no. That what I mean is, when you're a teenager, you've got this kind of secret thing where you do. Well, it's not so secret because you talk about it in podcasts. you've got this thing where you just actually fancy somebody, and it doesn't matter that you'll never actually have the chance to do anything about it.
Trust me.
And I think as you grow up, you just kind of go, well, of course, you know, still a good-looking person, blah, blah, blah. But even now, as a 43-year-old man, I'm just kind of going, oh, God, no, I'm absolutely.
Yeah, but what you've got to bear in mind is it still counts as a secret crush if you're talking about it on this podcast, so you're fine.
Yeah, no, of course.
But I have just realised that if Laura's right on, are you right on her age, and you know John's age, so are you right that she's 10 years older than John?
Yeah, I think she's 53, isn't she?
Yeah.
So she's 43 here. So
I'm actually closer to her age than you two.
She's 50. Sorry, she's 57. She's 57.
Oh, that's too old. I couldn't possibly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Alex. I'm going to have to turn you down.
I thought she was about 53, 54, but apparently not.
But she's still...
Absolutely, still good.
Yeah, totally. Because I would like to... Because what order did they film this in roughly the right order in terms of us watching it, or was it in the right order for her? If you see what I mean.
All of her appearances.
No, in this series.
I think they were done for us.
In this series.
I don't think they filmed these scenes and then like they've ended with silence in the library. I think that would have been counterproductive because then we've got David Tennant back.
That would have been so good. That wasn't quite what I meant, and you know it.
I think it would have shown real commitment.
Yeah.
Especially when they would have had to film loads of Matt Smith stuff, a Capaldi one, and then Tennant's in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, completely. I think that's how they should have done it. Because it's the only way to explain how she was so in the moment in her character and knew the entire timeline of her thing, because she had already done the scenes before and she knew what was coming. It's the only thing, other than the fact she was a brilliant actress, and I'm sure that's not the case because she's a woman, so that can't be true. So it must be the fact that they filmed it all in the right order for her. I'm glad we sorted that out.
The weird thing about just when you mentioned that, if in season 13 they brought River Song back, I bet you wouldn't hear a fucking murmur.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't. No one would complain at all if she was suddenly the Doctor. Why do we have to have Billy back again?
Why do we have to have flashbacks, but only from New Who?
Well, that's very true. Well, other than the fact that no one watching this would remember who the other people were apart from John.
Well, and Laura.
And me, but apart from us.
It should have been done solely for us. It should have been done.
Yeah.
I got an email today about the actual delivery date of the Doctor Who Season 8 collection on Blu-ray. I don't know if you got it, Ken.
I did, but I didn't read it. I figured you had, so you'd tell me.
March the 8th. So on March the 8th, we should do a podcast where we watch all of them and you go, oh God, you were right, the master in every story.
Do you know what? I may never, ever watch Season 8, ever. Just to keep that hanging there that I can't, I cannot admit that you were right.
It doesn't happen often, so I'd be keen if you could just admit it just once.
Has Laura muted her camera or muted her? Oh, we're back again.
No, I never went anywhere.
It's very
never
weird.
Never went anywhere. But wouldn't it have been nicer had for that previous scene, they gone through a few people and just like, no, give me someone I haven't messed up. And it was Mel. And you're like, no, someone that's not shit. It would have been wonderful. But the opportunity was there.
I mean, if it's going to be someone I haven't messed up, how far back can you go for a character, for an assistant, a companion that he hasn't messed up?
He basically abandoned Mel. He abandoned Mel on Iceborne World with Savalon Glitz.
Yeah.
Hang on, abandoned Mel with Savile? That's fucking up.
That's bad. I mean, Perry, you can argue Perry was happy because she went off with Brian Blessed, and who wouldn't enjoy that?
She wasn't happy if you read the Virgin New Adventure books in the 90s.
Susan, possibly, although you can argue that he'd already pissed her around by dragging her around the universe being grumpy.
Did kind of abandon and she would never return.
That's true,
she
yes.
She would be happy if you read the BBC books in the late 1990s, early 2000s.
To be fair, no one was happy reading those books.
Yeah. They're not canon.
They're absolutely canon.
They're not canon.
They're not canon, or are they canon? Some of them might be canon, some of them are bloody terrible. the missing scripts from the Colin Baker period are appallingly written.
The Nightmare Fair.
Oh man, that's a bad book.
These German restaurants look terrible.
Well, haven't been in one or two. German restaurants are brilliant.
Are they set up like this?
Yeah, no, all of them.
Nothing like that.
You go into a McDonald's in Berlin, it looks just like that.
I can imagine that, actually.
And actually, they give you two guns at the door.
Anywhere you eat in Germany, they're well aware of the fact that you're probably predominantly there for alcohol, and food is a secondary concern.
That's very true.
And anything you do have is like heavy on the lard.
I mean, when I was over in Leverkusen, sometime in the 90s, there was a couple of pizza places and they sold beer and they happened to sell pizza.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but they made sure that you knew they sold beer. Like, yeah, but I'm also a bit hungry. Well, yeah, there's a pizza oven here, we could. But here, have another beer.
I love it.
Have they made Karen look a little bit younger at that point?
I think that's kind of to just differentiate her from actual Karen or actual Amy, we should say, I suppose.
Yes. Ah, that's why. I'm up to speed. Thank you. Who's disappeared now? This is weird. People keep disappearing off my screen.
I turned my camera off.
Ah, that'd be why.
I just don't want to be on camera.
Well, no, I'm currently staring at a very angry white man, and it's not John, which is most disconcerting.
I turned my camera off because I was going to get another drink.
So you had to.
How the hell do these things work? I mean,
what things? Cameras.
Yeah.
That's a whole separate conversation.
Obviously, that's what I'm struggling with. No, the antibodies.
Well, basically, if they find something in the body that they think is alien, they attack it. In my case, it turned out to be my neurological system. In their case, see, my neuro system forgot to strap on his little green bracelet-y thing. That was what happened.
But it's just they don't really explain that part, and that I would actually find quite interesting.
Well, I think it's...
I'd actually like some kind of science behind that, please, Moffat.
What?
Can just gave you the science.
I was going to say, you want the science of antibodies explained.
Not those antibodies, these antibodies.
But the clue is in the name antibodies.
Yeah, but they still don't have, like, that's not how antibodies actually work. Oh, they do not get stopped by strapping a green glowy thing to your wrist.
Do you know this for a fact?
Yeah, to an extent.
Yeah, it's called a vaccine. I suppose you don't believe in vaccines.
I don't believe in green glowy things strapped to a wrist. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I an anti-green glowy thing strapped to a wristist?
Yep, totally.
No, but to an extent, antibodies are potentially attacking something that they don't think should be there.
Yeah, you see, if you...
When there's a marker that explains that they should be there, then they don't attack them.
Welcome to Healthline.
Yeah.
I did not come here for a biology lesson, I came here for a science lesson.
I'm going to interject here and say that River Dress as a Nazi is way too fucking hot.
Yes.
And when I come off this podcast, yeah, I'm going to rewatch this episode.
It's wrong. It's wrong on every level.
I'm not going to care if it bleeds into Matt Smith and a top hat. I'm probably still going to go with it.
Yeah, it's wrong on every level. One does not need to be enjoying.
Not quite every level, because we still haven't had Morgan walking in yet.
Yeah.
Oh, but
what I will say,
that would make it more awkward.
Is that I've realised one of the reasons that Morgan might be fundamental to this is the fact that we won't have a 20-minute fucking dialogue about politics.
That's true, actually. Yeah,
I think we might have realised why it might be key for me to have her back on Friday on account of the fact that we talked about the Trump Pence administration for more than half of this episode.
Yeah,
when good point. I probably turned around and said, we're trying to watch Doctor Who, could you shut the fuck up?
Yeah, we do kind of need a young girl to go, are we supposed to be watching a TV show? And another thing about the Pence administration, this would have happened and that would have happened. And coupled with the fact that, frankly, I don't particularly want to see a man giving his inauguration speak thanking mother.
Back to the episode. Matt Smith doing farce, yes or no?
No is a short. I don't know.
It's too awkward. And he's, I know that's how this alien doctor plays it.
Yeah, but he's not good at natural weirdness. If you know what I mean, he can do odd weirdness.
Has come unnaturally to him.
Yes.
Matt Smith looks uncomfortable as opposed to the doctor looking uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I think we've kind of morphed into the period where Matt Smith is looking uncomfortable in the role anyway.
There's a couple of good episodes left of this series, but then it goes pretty much downhill for the remainder of his tenure.
Yeah, and he kind of, I've always felt that that final episode, which we will get to probably in a couple of weeks' time, actually, I don't want to use the phrase phoning it in because he lives in a phone box, but it does kind of feel a little bit like he's just kind of going through the motions a little bit.
What, in the movie? And Time of the Doctor?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not so much in the movie. Time of the Doctor, yeah, maybe.
But you see, I think as well.
I think that's just more general exhaustion in the role,
yeah.
And also exhaustion of the writer.
Could be. I mean, how much of it do you think? Eight. Which the other thing to bear in mind is we lose Amy and, to a less extent, because it's less important, Rory. Not very soon, and the person who comes in to replace, we've got to watch episodes with her in. It's not good and it's not fun.
Have we got Rings of Ackerton down on the list? I can't remember. I'm hoping not, but part of me is actually hoping that we do because people say that's the best of that part of Series 7 before you get to the movie, and it's awful. It's awful.
Do you know what I think that Matt Smith would probably agree with me were he in the room right now. I think Matt Smith suffered with Cara on account of the fact that he couldn't get past the fact that Amy had, you know, I mean, as an actor, I think he was in this from the get-go with Karen Gillan, and then he was in here with Arthur Darvill, and he created a family.
Yeah.
And then they left, and then suddenly he was out of his comfort zone, and I do think
as his comfort zone, and also knowing that he was going to be leaving.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's why I much prefer Cara under Capaldi. I'm going to rephrase that. I prefer Cara during Capaldi's tenure on account of the fact that I don't think that was as much of an issue. Whereas I generally think that Matt Smith lost his way because he had created this kind of comfort zone for himself. And then suddenly that wasn't there. And actually, that works quite well because when you actually do, Matt Smith seems to kind of come back to his own in the episode that River's in. And it's because suddenly there was an element of familiarity there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think to go back to a previous question, I'm looking at the list as it's known right now.
Oh, okay, because Matt Smith's actually in the room now, so this is good.
Technically, Matt Smith's been in the room the whole time we've been talking. We've just been ignoring him and talking about River Song and Hitler. I didn't even see that on my screen.
Pence and Trump.
Yeah, and Pence. Yeah. Hitler, Trump. Rings of...
Pence, River Song?
Rivers of Pence. Rings of Ackerton is on the list. And because, bear in mind, someone wrote this list, in brackets afterwards it says, sigh, exclamation mark.
That could have been any one of us.
So it's been put in the list knowing that someone...
I'll just put my camera back on to show my reaction to that, which was...
I'm liking Matt Smith being right behind your head.
Oh, okay, I'll put that back on.
I also like the fact that if you turn the camera off, all I get is Matt Smith. And now we stop talking because Matt Smith's on the screen and on the screen. That's too much Matt Smith for one evening, frankly.
He's behind me, isn't he?
He is. He's weirdly, where your head is now positioned, he's looking slightly boss-eyed as if he's staring right at the back of your head. In the same way that if you hold your finger up to a cat's nose, the cat goes cross-eyed trying to see the end of your finger.
Come back to what I was saying earlier on was the fact that you actually have seen this before. You've actually seen the fact that Billie Piper clearly didn't, and she probably doesn't think this to the same extent, but she worked better under Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she was out of her comfort zone. And in hindsight, she probably quite enjoyed it. But when you're watching Rose, you actually just kind of go, she came off as a real kind of moody, jealous, you know, she wasn't the same character.
No.
Under Tennant.
And no, you know, she was far more just Billie Piper.
Yep.
She's unfortunate.
As a consequence of that, I don't think David Tennant worked quite as well with Martha. And I kind of find that from his perspective, Billy was, you know, and then suddenly he just kind of, I think he maybe worked slightly better with Martha than Matt did with Clara.
It's but he's definitely question. How would Martha have worked with Matt Smith's doctor?
Not
so,
well.
So then he almost kind of He worked slightly better with, say, Donna on account of the fact that he almost kind of recovered from it.
Yeah, you raise an interesting point, because thinking back to Pertwee, I think, is the best example, who had a very clear shift in companion.
Well, he's three.
Yeah, but from... I've forgotten who the first one was, but who the one who got replaced by Joe Grant. She was in the first series
Les
of Pertwee.
Shaw.
Yeah, the first series of Pertwee, yeah. Scientisty, intelligent woman. She goes, eye candy, bimbo comes in. But Pertwee was consistent throughout. He didn't change how he was playing the Doctor. Other people had to fit in around him. And I think Tom Baker kind of did that a bit as well. And it feels like
to the same extent, I'd suggest.
The modern doctors seem to work off their companion rather than be the doctor and the companions have to fit in around.
Yep.
Well, all right. That was all right then. Yeah.
I'd agree. I'd say that Tom Baker did the same as John Pertwee, but not to the same extent. I think.
Well, I think.
But again, Tom Baker's got the disadvantage of the fact that he did 7 years and clearly. In the last year, he clearly couldn't be fucked anymore.
Just think how much of it is just simply down to do with chemistry. It's why I think that Jodie and Yaz are going to work a lot better than just the three of them. We can talk about it now. I know that we've got John Bishop as well.
Who? I didn't know about this. When did that happen?
But again, Capaldi works better with Clara. On account of the fact that one of the first things Capaldi actually said before he started the role was the fact that he doesn't think the Doctor should be having any sexual chemistry with companions.
Yeah, so it's like that.
Well, to be fair...
But the weird thing about that was, as a consequence of that, I felt that the chemistry between Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman was almost palpable at times, was the fact that, I felt that their chemistry was infinitely better than the chemistry between Matt Smith and Clara on account of the fact that there was almost a kind of non-sexual romance there.
Yeah. I mean, for my money, the chemistry was better between Capaldi and Bill Potts. I personally think, but I prefer the Bill...
Yeah, that's the whole Dr. Student thing, which just works particularly well.
Yeah, and I particularly liked the Bill Potts character, and I thought she was strong enough to stand up to the Doctor when needed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we're at this bit. This should anger people more than the end of Series 12.
Yeah.
Why?
Give the power to give away all of your remaining regenerations to save one person is like, no.
Yeah,
no, 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 no. No.
So we were saying no to that, are we?
No.
No. Right.
Yes. Yes. No.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's a no. It's a no from me. Welcome to Britain's Got Doctors. That's kind of weird. This does feel like. I mean, I kind of like this episode, not that we've actually talked about it much, because it is just completely bonkers. And it brings River into the whole thing, but this bit does feel like it's been, it's too much and too silly. And in an episode when we have to explain antibodies, this is still too silly.
It's still too silly. It's just like you've got, I mean, do we know how many regenerations River had actually used?
Well, at this point, going by what we've seen in this episode, three, because younger River, when she was someone else, when she was their friend, she's seen to use the energy twice. And then you get the change from Mel to River. So that's three.
Was it twice, or is it established it's more? John, you'll know. How many times is it established that River has regenerated till this point? How many, using the rule of 13 lives?
This is our third.
This is definitely her third. So it's Melody, one we don't see, which leads to the girl in the astronaut suit. Yes. Which then leads to Mel's to River.
Yes.
I thank you. I want a bonus point for getting that one right.
And that's established.
Well, John
it's
said it's
not
fact.
Established, but with all the information that we're given, it's absolutely the case. I'm sure there's a scene in this, and I don't know because I wasn't paying attention. But yeah,
it's what it's saying is that 10, well, rather 9. Nine lots of regeneration energy, yep, is enough to bring a Time Lord back to life, is basically what that's implying.
But it doesn't give the Time Lord an extra 9 regenerations.
No,
but it's enough to bring a Time Lord back to life, because River now has none.
Yes.
Right,
but
because what actually explicitly happened was the fact that something had happened to stop him from, no matter how many regenerations he had left, it was stopping him from actually having one. So it was to all intents and purposes, killing him. And she used all of her kind of... So let's say 9 as a placeholder. She basically sacrificed 9 regenerations to give him a chance to actually be able to continue his life.
But do we know whether she needed to give all 9 to do that, or just did because she just figured, what the hell, why not?
Let me just get Steve Moffat on the phone, we'll find out.
Could you just dial him in?
I can just dial Stephen Moffat in, give me a second.
I'm just in a situation, by the way, where Morgan came in to say goodnight and discovered what I was doing.
Hey! That's why you don't lie to your children.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, I've not fundamentally lied. You know she's adopted and she knows that Santa's not real.
Which one of those is actually true?
Both of them.
Whoa. Santa's not real? Oh, excellent. Stephen Moffat's now on the line. Excellent. So, Stephen.
Wibbly wobbly.
Timey wimey.
Timey wimey.
Much of a Scottish accent you're going to get from me.
To be honest, you should have probably asked me to do it.
I'd forgotten he was Scottish.
I was thinking it, but you know, is this the
21st century equivalent of saying that only gay men should play gay men in films, is the fact that you had a Scottish man on the call and you decided to go ahead with a rubbish Scottish accent when I could have done a very adequate rubbish Scottish accent.
To be fair, my rubbish accent wasn't even Scottish, in my defence. So I think we're okay on the fact. How was she still alive in 5123? Oh, time travel, that was it.
Time travel, fuck's sake. What show are you watching?
I'm watching the River Nazis, which is quite a fun show. It's a new sitcom.
It's the Danny Mays episode next.
Ah, yes.
Yep. Which is an episode I've only ever seen once. It's on that list of episodes I've only ever seen once because I just never want to go back to it because I'm like, meh.
See, I like him as an actor. I really like him as an actor. I'm just
I like
not
Danny
sure.
Mays. I looked him in the last series of Ashes to Ashes.
Yeah.
Ashes to Ashes. Well, that's the problem. It's almost that was kind of peak. Whereas, you know, anything else that I've seen of him since then or before then is relatively disappointing in comparison.
But he's a great actor, and
fit the role absolutely perfectly.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. I feel like we should go back and watch that again and actually pay attention to the episode, because it suddenly ended and I didn't even know the ending was coming.
Why don't we rewatch it on Friday with Morgan?
No. We'll just pretend this was the warm-up episode. You and I were just... the three of us were just having a chat before we did the podcast on Friday.
Even on Friday, just tell her it's a girl who's wasted. She'll find it boring.
Yeah.
Nothing much happened. It's going to be too confusing for her.
That might set her right up, because she had to wait until Friday.
So, hey, there we go. Yeah. Yeah. The Morgan who waited.
Yeah. Oh God! I'm still chatting away. Kind of going, in my head, I'm kind of going, well, you're the adult here. You make the decisions.
No, you don't.
This shouldn't be a conversation. And I'm going to have to almost tomorrow humbly go, you'll be on Friday's episode.
You are. You're the bad boy here. You're the bad person.
I know.
You have done a bad thing. You have lied to a little girl about tooth fairies, Santa, and podcasts.
I have never lied about those things.
Was there a point when she believed in them?
Come on.
At some point, I had
conversations kind of going, this girl's been lying to her entire life. I don't want to be part of that.
And look what you go and do.
Any of those things existed.
Look what you go and do. Your daughter has been lied to her entire life. The man she trusts went and said, I'm just going to go into the other room and sit and talk to this pot plant and pretend I'm having a gig. You go and watch a sitcom with your mum.
This was a gig. Don't pretend it was anything else.
Anyway, right, so back to...
What do you think you are?
I'm your interactive audience. Boo! Boo! So this now sets up the second half of season, whatever we are.
We're on season six, from the very, very disappointing end to series six.
That's it.
So what have we got left?
I think we just got Girl Who Waited and Marriage of a Song.
That's it. The only two we've got left now. As an intro to the second half of the series, I thought the car, the Corvette racing through the field and Mel jumping out was really exciting. And after that, it just kind of got a little bit mad until River turned up, and then it got mad again.
It's mad. It's silly. It's a fun episode.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a fun episode.
It is fun. It is fun, but it's utterly batshit.
Do you know what? It's fun. It's fun, but it's actually, in terms of actual kind of content, there's absolutely fuck all to it.
Yeah, I think this is the thing. It's one of those. It's almost a placeholder episode, because they shoehorn an entire character's backstory into half an hour.
Yep, they absolutely do. They basically just kind of they go, hey, look at how fun this is. They manage to answer a lot of things, but do it in such a weird, fantastical, quirky way that you would have questioned it more had this been a serious episode.
Yeah, totally.
If this had been a serious episode that gave you the origins of River Song and blah, 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 and this, that, the next thing, and her no longer, you know, there's lots of kind of MacGuffins in here that more or less explain why she could no longer regenerate, why they do this, why they do that. Certain things that almost kind of account for the fact that you could, to all intents and purposes, say that Amy and Rory raised River, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And there's loads of very serious subject matter in here that they just decide to goof about and fuck about and come up with a really absurd concept to the extent that you almost don't question it. Whereas a lot of the questions that are answered in here possibly demanded a serious answer, but if they had been given in a serious way, it wouldn't have held under scrutiny to the same extent. This was a romp. They used a romp to explain a ton of backstory,
which is
fine.
Let them get away with it. No, absolutely. But you let them get away with it as a consequence of it. But if this had gone in as a serious episode that tried to explain the origin of
River
Melody Pond becoming River Song, then you would have absolutely said, no, this doesn't hold water.
But it's interesting you're saying about it answers a lot of questions. It actually completely fails to answer the one question it deliberately set up, which is what happens if you kill Hitler?
Yeah, but that was never.
No, but that's my point.
But it doesn't ask that question.
Well, no, but that's my point. At the end of first half of this series, that's kind of set up as they go, let's kill Hitler, and they go into the 30s and Hitler and all the rest of it, and Hitler, 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 Hitler. And then they just chuck Hitler in a cupboard and go, we're going to forget about him now. So they kind of set it up as we're going to tackle that philosophical question, and then they completely don't, and they answer a whole load of other questions.
Yeah, but that was because we conceived that's what this was going to be about. But the episode wasn't called "What Would Happen If We Killed Hitler." The episode was called "Let's Kill Hitler," which is pretty much said before this, and it more or less points towards the batshit nature of what's just about to happen.
Yeah, fair point.
So it isn't. It's never a question. It's a statement, and the statement is: how fucking ridiculous can this get?
Because punctuation matters, children.
It was never a question of let's kill Hitler. The question was, how fucking ridiculous can we make this? And they actually
You can't call an episode of Doctor Who that. It's still ostensibly for kids.
So you can't call it, what the fuck we're going to do with Hitler then, children?
Yeah, what the fuck are we going to do with Hitler now we've got him? Because they actually went back and got Hitler, the actual actor.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
They actually pretty much knew what they said they would do, but they've led us to believe that they didn't. Which gives tons of fanboys lots of masturbatory time on forums, kind of going, but they didn't even fucking try to kill him.
Well, you can argue that they put him in a cupboard, and Hitler was a known claustrophobe, so that would have come close to doing that. Anyway, right, so. We haven't killed Hitler, but we have answered lots of other questions, and we did actually briefly talk about the episode, which is kind of the point, even though for a lot of the time, we forgot.
Well, do you know what,
Tanner? Hitler was fine by me.
And that's the Gammon talking, so that's fine. We've got his approval.
To an extent, mate, absolutely. Probably, if you look back more so than anything else, we did talk about this show. You know, the spirit of this...
We did kind of, yes, I suppose we kind of sort of took it in a broader context of what science fiction tells us about the modern world. And on that note, I feel we should amble away and go and think about what we've done, put John in the naughty corner, and then let Morgan back out the cupboard on Friday. In the meantime, that has been the Unsorted Popcorn Directionless Commentary Talk About It Yourself, Let's Kill Hitler special. And over there we had the lovely John.
Hello, goodbye, sorry.
Well done, good, on brand.
I had one line.
Yeah, she's not here to fuck it up, so you did. And over on the other side, we had Stephen Moffat and the Gammon and Big Bertha, all masquerading as Laura. Oh,
fuck, I've got to do three voices at the same time.
God, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for having us. I am speaking on behalf of us all over in... shit impression corner.
Oh, that's a brilliant new corner. That's got to become a new permanent thing. Every week, a new shit impression. We promise. We will reconvene at some point in the near future when we will talk about The Girl Who Waited, and we may even talk about The Girl Who Waited, although we'll probably talk about the fact that Mike Pence is hanging from a lamppost. In the meantime, this has been Unsigned Popcorn.
I hope that doesn't age really badly. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, can I just say at this point... I'm not saying that's going to happen. If it does happen, I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Pence.
Jesus.
we may have to re-record this on Friday.
can we get through tomorrow first, and then we can make shit like that?
Can I just say one little thing before we go?
Yep.
He was in the White House for 4 and a bit years, and he still couldn't get Amtrak to run on time. The guy is a useless fascist. On that note, this has been Unsorted Popcorn. We are off to go and think about what we've done. We shall see you when we meet for The Girl Who Waited. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.